I'm Mark Lang, the President and CEO of the National Cotton Council.
Here at the Beltway Cotton Conferences, we had an update this morning from you about, what's going on or not going on in Washington, D.C. And the first thing that was on the list was what just happened on New Year's Day. And comment a little bit about what Congress did on New Year's Day and how it impacts agriculture and cotton growers in particular.
Well, what Congress did, of course, was it needed to act to deal with a bunch of tax extenders that expired at the end of December. And, of course, there was a very contentious issues about who should or should not be taxed in the future. And so they did a resolution of that, and they put in means testing now on income tax rates and capital gains dividends, and they resolved the issue. There had been a very contentious thing about how to deal with estate taxes and exemptions in estate taxes. They took care of all that and an AMT relief for income tax, but they also did not. They declined to extend the payroll tax cut that had been in place in the last 2 years. So virtually every working American saw a 2% increase in their taxes. In agriculture, in particular, what they did was they said they would extend for 1 year the provisions of the farm law. So they said the provisions in place in 2012 would be in place for 2013. I think most of agriculture said we need this kind of certainty, and I think it is important for that. But I also know that one of the things they didn't do was they didn't make any cuts. And it's very clear, as we've been talking about farm policy now for 2 years, that agriculture has to come up with some cuts, somewhere between $28 and $34 billion. They made no cuts. So all that means is the next farm bill you want to talk about, a four-year farm bill, is going to have 5 years' worth of cuts put in it. And that's going to make coming to a good resolution about farm policy, frankly, all the more difficult. I think there were at least some fairly well-established boundaries that have already been set up in the Senate and the House discussions about revenue and price protections. I'm not certain that when the CBO goes through another scoring that they're going to find the necessary savings out of agricultural programs, and they're going to have to go back to the drawing board and talk about those some more. And that's very difficult. And I think it's also going to find all that's going to take place in a Congress that's got to deal with a debt ceiling problem. That'll be talked about probably very early February, resolution to that. And then as soon as they're finished with that, the bill they just passed only postponed sequestration for 60 days. So sometime in mid-February, before the 1st of March, they have to figure out what they're going to do about sequestration. I think it's very clear no one in Congress wants to see the sequestration that would happen as it's currently established to occur, because it would mean a significant reduction in defense spending. A lot of concern about what that does to jobs as well as national security. I think most are convinced they'll have to do something. But that's Congress's focus then, debt ceiling, then on sequestration. And as soon as we're out of those woods, there's a continuing resolution that was passed by Congress immediately prior to going home for elections. That expires on March the 27th. March the 28th, there isn't any money to run government. They're going to have to do something. Now, the easiest thing to do is a continuing resolution, but every time they do a continuing resolution, there's also a discussion about, well, we could find some other cuts here or there. Every time somebody has a discussion about other cuts, agriculture gets right in front of that. And I'm very concerned about that. It makes agricultural policy then all the more difficult to come to an agreement on.
Let's talk about the estate tax. One of the good things to come out of this agreement. What do you think about that? What was decided as far as agriculture is concerned?
Well, I think anything that went to increasing the exemption was good for agriculture. We look at these enterprises that can constitute commercial farms today. They're large, they're capital intensive, and it's very important for our family farmers to find the meaningful ways to do a pass on for those enterprises. And the lower that exemption, the more burden it's placed on finding a way to pass these enterprises on to the future generation. So I applaud Congress for what they accomplished there.
And now this has been put to rest. Is this permanent at this point?
It's permanent until Congress wants to take it up again, but it has no expiration. The current $5 million exemption does not have an expiration.
Well, that's a good thing. Maybe they'll just leave it alone. Getting back to the Farm Bill now, this extension that we have for the current Farm Bill, what is the impact of that as far as the trade concerns that Brazil has that have been continuing for over the last several years?
Well, Brazil had signaled a year ago, there were discussions, of course, about the idea of a farm bill that would be a one-year and a four-year bill all mm-hmm. put into one. And then in the summer of 2012, I think there were some signals perhaps from the Brazilians that sort of farm bill that said, well, maybe 1 year more of policies like we've had and then 4 years of new policy, that the Brazilians might be able to tolerate that. But it would depend upon what those four other years were. Mm-hmm. They were concerned about that. And with this standalone 1 year, I don't know. I'm very anxious to hear. And I know that the U.S. government will be talking to the Brazilians in the next week or so. And we should get some feedback. But the agreement was that so long as the U.S. didn't do anything like just extend for another 5 years, the Brazilians were willing to see what the new legislation would look like, provided the U.S. government continued to make this payment to the Brazilians mm-hmm. of $147 million. The other thing that will happen, mm-hmm. as we talk about these things like reaching a debt ceiling, mm-hmm. reaching sequestration, and continuing resolution, is there will be some folks who say, why are we paying the Brazilians $147 million? And we'll have to defend that. Mm-hmm. Failure to successfully defend it will jeopardize then the framework agreement we're operating under now.
Overall, what is your opinion of right now the status of the cotton industry?
Well, I think the U.S. cotton industry is in a strong position financially. Mm-hmm. But I think the U.S. industry is also very, very anxious, and I am too, about cotton prices. Mm-hmm. Cotton prices with futures trading in the high 70s generate prices to growers that are in the low 70s. And I would say for a whole lot of growers, that doesn't cover the cost of production. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a real problem. We can't hold cotton prices at this level very long before we start to see producers move away from cotton, and we start to do some real damage to infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So I think it is important. We've got to find a way to grow demand. That could happen in a couple different ways. Some of the things that China's doing is thwarting their own mill use, and that's having an impact on world market. So mm-hmm. right now, I'd say, you know, we're in a good position financially. We're in a good position to be able to provide the world a lot of cotton, but we can't do it for much longer at these kinds of prices.
Well, with the prices where they are, how is this helping our exports? What is our export situation like right now?
Well, we're still exporting at a high rate, mm-hmm. but it's because China's buying. Mm-hmm. And, of course, one of the real problems here is that the Chinese are buying to hold a reserve, but inside China, the interior price of cotton is much higher than polyester. So China's mills have moved away from spinning cotton into spinning polyester. Their mill use is down significantly. And the rest of the world's mill use has come up, but not near enough to offset that decline by China. So what we're seeing, of course, then is stock building by the world. Mm-hmm. Stock building by China, but also the rest of the world. That can't continue for a lot longer, not at these prices.
Well, overall, as far as National Cotton Council is concerned in Washington, D.C., what else are you going to be looking at in 2013?
A long list of things. We've got a lot of issues. We're very concerned about, of course, where the Trans-Pacific Partnership discussions are going to go. Every time the world starts talking about having another World Trade Organization ministerial, which they're saying they're going to do late in 2013, we get very concerned about that because of the so-called early harvest on cotton that the rest of the world keeps pushing at the U.S. We have lots of issues over on the regulatory side. We're looking for a resolution to the national permit discharge permitting system. We're looking for reasonable resolution on pollinators, reasonable regulation when it comes to endangered species, and this mega suit that says that EPA has not been involving enough of the interested parties over on the side of Fish and Wildlife when it does its consultations about permit registration or registration of products and labeling. And so those are just a few of the things that we're still trying to get the boll weevil eradicated. We've driven it down into South Texas. It's on the border. Issues with security for the people who need to do eradication make it difficult to finish the project. So we're still going to need some funds from the federal government and their assistance when dealing with Mexico, hopefully to resolve this. Pink bollworm eradication, we still want to finish that. We're getting close. So we have a lot of issues that I think are very important to growers, bottom line, that we're still working on as well.
All right, very good. Thank you very much. Here at the Beltwide Cotton Conferences, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.